All right, welcome to Free Association. It's a Liz Truss special, this one. Liz Truss resigned at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, just before 2 o'clock. And I was actually online, but I was doing something else. I went online and I was doing a live stream, but I was looking for historical stuff. I did have a stream of Sky News running, and I would have posted it. I missed the actual announcement, but I saw the announcement at 2 o'clock, which was within 5 or 10 minutes of when it actually happened. So I was pretty quick off the mark this afternoon, but the audio quality wasn't great, so I didn't post it. So I'm going to do a little bit of a summary. I'm going to find the actual announcement on here. Let's try it. Liz Truss resignation speech. That'll be the one. I think it's just there's a clip that's just under a minute that I played this afternoon. Oh, there's longer versions. Let's have a look. I'm back on the old, this is a minute and a half, so or nearly 2 minutes, so this is about right. So this is the actual announcement outside of 10 Downing Street at just before 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm back on the old laptop again, so that's why you can hear the clicking again.
I came into office at a time of great economic and international instability. Families and businesses were worried about how to pay their bills. Putin's illegal war in Ukraine threatens the security of our whole continent, and our country has been held back for too long by low economic growth. I was elected by the Conservative Party with a mandate to change this. We delivered on energy bills and on cutting national insurance. And we set out a vision for a low tax, high growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. I recognise, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party. This morning, I met the chairman of the 1922 committee, Sir Graham Brady. We've agreed that there will be a leadership election to be completed within the next week. This will ensure that we remain on a path to deliver our fiscal plans and maintain our country's economic stability and national security. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen. Thank you.
All right, so that's the announcement. 1 minute and 47 seconds. And the response that I've seen at the local community centre is just relief. Everybody was waiting for her to resign, and she's finally done it. So honestly, I've been predicting it for at least a fortnight. And it was only a matter of time. It's been horrible to watch. It's been awful to watch. I'm in favour of the Conservative Party ripping themselves apart. I quite like that to happen. But this was just horrible to watch. And it's cost a lot of money for a lot of people. So it's not a good way to do it. But you can guarantee that things will not be the same. They might even go back to Boris Johnson. I think the betting for Boris Johnson to be leader of the Tory party is about 40 to 1. He hasn't announced anything, but the Telegraph seems to be saying that he will run. So that just puts the cat amongst the pigeons. It's opening a can of worms that I really don't want to open again, because I don't like Boris Johnson at all. I think I like Boris Johnson even less than I like Liz Truss, and that's saying something. I've been watching a guy who's an academic called Tim Wilson on YouTube, who's been commenting on these things. So he's officially now a political commentator. He's being called up by TV stations. He's an academic, so he does this stuff between his lectures, I think. But it's been very, very, very sarcastic, very vicious. And he's vicious without being aggressive. So let's see what he had to say. I'll do the Penny Mordaunt clip because that was great. So Penny Mordaunt on Monday was asked a question. She was standing in for the Prime Minister and she was asked a question that involved a statement that the Prime Minister was hiding under a desk wishing it would all go away. And Penny Mordaunt used that language in the response she made to the question, which got a huge laugh. Listen to this. This is Professor Tim Wilson commenting on Penny Mordaunt on Monday, which is 4 days ago. Although it feels like a century ago.
Hello, we've seen two pieces of very interesting political theatre today. The first, of course, was Jeremy Hunt's talk to the nation, which is a sort of thing that a Prime Minister would do. And then his very careful dismantling of Kwasi Kwarteng's package publicly, and his promise that worse is to come because of the damage that Kwarteng has actually done with Truss. We also then saw Liz Truss in silence by his side, fluttering her eyelashes, not knowing whether to grimace or smile. She chose the smile stupidly. That's one piece of theatre. And that's on the back of the knowledge that Liz Truss herself has got a minus 60% approval rating. Minus 60. It's extraordinary. A busted flush is being called. I would think of many other flushing jokes, but they wouldn't be drawn from the image of card playing. They would be drawn rather more from the image of Mr. Crapper. So Stuart Rose called her a busted flush. And the Stuart Rose is the former boss of Marks and Spencer, the chair of Asda. She lacks the confidence of business investors. She lacks the confidence of the electorate. She lacks the confidence of colleagues in the party. That's what he said. And Guy Hann. Guy Hans is another person. He said that a grown-up needs to take over. She should go as soon as possible. So, you know, it is so clear that Liz Truss is on the way out. And it's simply a matter of time before she goes. And it's simply a matter of trying to see how many threats she can make. Because she still has her hands on the wheels of power, even if her brain is disengaged. Now, that's to pick up Sir Keir Starmer's image of crashing a car at 100 miles an hour and then having to pay significant insurance thereafter. But the other piece of theatre that we saw today was a scurrilous and really quite aggressive piece of attempted assassination and repositioning, and that was Penny Mordaunt. And Penny Mordaunt presumably was trusted as leader of the House to go out and field for Liz Truss in her absence while she presumably was being carpeted by Sir Graham Brady. Now, Liz Truss presumably could trust her. Penny Mordaunt, well, you can't trust anybody when you're the Prime Minister, of course. But maybe Liz Truss thought she could trust Penny Mordaunt, another woman, to have her back. Not likely. And Liz Truss, in her absence, was ritually, I would say, knifed in the back by Penny Mordaunt. How? Penny Mordaunt played to the gallery. So she was asked this question about whether Liz Truss was putting the nation and the international situation before her own stupidity and self-obsession. Was she hiding under a desk in number 10? And in reply, Penny Mordaunt could have ignored that. Penny Mordaunt could have just gone on and said, no, Liz Truss has got an important meeting that she that takes her away from the house, and therefore she can't be here at this moment, and I'm standing in her place. But no, she didn't do that. She said, Liz Truss, the Prime Minister, is not hiding under her desk. Pause for lengthy laughter. My goodness, she was milking that one. She was milking it. This is a person, remember, this is a person who, for a dare, found a way to get particular words into her speeches. This is a person who knows how to handle a crowd. She plays the audience. She plays to the gallery. She is not unaware of what she's doing. This was her opportunity to demonstrate to a public that doesn't know who she is that she has leadership qualities. And she does. But those are the sort of leadership qualities of a snake. And as for answering the questions, no. She didn't answer a single question. She dived, she ducked, she was as lame and ineffective as Liz Truss might have been herself. But, she was a confident figure at the dispatch box. And that certainly earned comments from backbenchers. Penny Mordaunt, as we know, was one of the candidates for the leadership election of the Conservatives. Actually, one that I must say I would not have been entirely averse to seeing in control until today. Until today, I don't appreciate this sort of backstabbing viciousness. Can she not recognize that Liz Truss is down and on the way out? But no, she doesn't. She wants to drive the knife in herself, and she wants to do it. She wants to do it in this sort of rather strange, malicious way. A smiler with a knife. A smiler with a knife. Well, and supposed to be a friend. Supposed to be a friend. Not, I think. And if she can read the writing on the wall, so can we. Liz Truss will be out within 24 hours. Just take my word for it.
All right, so that was a little bit optimistic. It took 3 days from that Monday, almost exactly 3 days from that Monday. So, yeah, by the end of the week, he should have said, realistically. But you made the point well, Penny Mordaunt is not trustworthy. Right, I don't know where to take this now, because I don't want to witter on about politics all the time. All right, I don't know. Welcome to Chris and to Lawrence in the chat room. I don't know whether you saw the news this afternoon, but Liz Truss finally gave up and was out on the street in front of 10 Downing Street with a podium, resigning at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, my time, just before. So it's finally happened. We finally got the opportunity of a new leader of the Conservative Party. Liz Truss is still Prime Minister for about another week, because it'll take them a week to organise the elections and whatever they have to do. But in effect, we've got a space where the Prime Minister used to be, And it won't be filled for about a week. So the 28th of October, I think, is when they're expecting to have completed their hustings or whatever it is they do. They've got one televised debate. If there's more than one person standing, they want to do a televised debate. Welcome, Tullian. So I'm just kind of looking for clips and going over the news, but that's the main news. It's such a relief, man. It was driving me insane. Just the level of chaos and the tension was driving me insane. So it had to break. There's no way that it could have kept on going at that pace. I said this afternoon, I was on a live stream on Rumble this afternoon, and I said she was like Donald Trump on acid for 6 weeks. And can you imagine the level of incompetence and chaos? So I'm going to find another couple of clips and see where we go. This is Mick Lynch, who's the leader of, I think he's the leader of the RMT. I could be wrong. But he's leader of one of the rail unions. This is about 6 minutes, so I'll play this. I haven't heard this, but it's a response to the government chaos. And Mick Lynch is quite good with words, so it'll be amusing.
Wealth is not distributed properly. There are too many rich people who've got too much of the wealth, and there are too many poor people who haven't got enough. That's a fairly simple equation to work out. The poor need to get wealthier, and the wealthy need to get a bit poorer.
What are we doing here?
What we're doing here is we're at the TUC. This morning, Keir Starmer's going to speak. We've had Anne-Marie Trevelyan's latest message that she's going to oppress railway workers and conscript us into helping the employer break her own strike. And we've got chaos at Westminster, so who knows what's going to happen next.
What does the chaos at Westminster feel like to your members?
Well, it feels like we've got a government that is completely out of control, that has lost the plot. We're waiting for a settlement to get serious negotiations on. The employers have told me on Friday they cannot make an offer because they've not met this Secretary of State, and therefore they cannot change their position. She gives them the mandate for what they can say and do at the negotiating table. She hasn't met with them. She's met with me, but not with the employers. And they have told me directly they've got no mandate to settle the dispute. And while that's going on, they're being paid £30 million a day every time we go on strike. So they've got no motivation and no means to settle the dispute.
You were quite hopeful when Anne-Marie first got in. What do you make of her now?
I'm always hopeful, but she's good cop, bad cop, but on two different sides of the one face. So she told us that we're a family, that we are all going to have a settlement. We've got to work together at the table, which is fine. And in the next week, she's going to conscript workers into going to work during lawful disputes, which is a complete suppression of human rights and the right to strike. I'm sure it's illegal. I think it's against the International Labour Convention. It's probably against the Human Rights Act. And we'll take them to court along with the TUC and all the other unions. And we want support of the British people. They cannot have their freedoms and privileges as free people suppressed in this way.
Would you say that they were trivialising strike action?
Well, they seem to be making it more serious. These events could have been resolved within a matter of weeks when we started, but they seem to be escalating these disputes all of the time through the hype we've had off Grant Shapps, who suddenly reappeared, having been sacked 6 weeks ago. He seemed to hype them up at every opportunity, castigating me and other trade union leaders, castigating our members. All we want is a square deal, and we know that the employers could give us a deal if they were allowed to negotiate it.
Just looking at all of the chaos that ensued last night, what does that mean, Westminster chaos, to your members, people right now who are struggling with their salaries? What does it mean to them?
Well, I think the country has the right to expect serious politicians, even if you don't agree with everything that a particular government's doing. They've got to conduct themselves with a bit of professionalism and dignity. And what we're seeing is people scrabbling around, worrying about who's going to get a P45, worrying about who's going to get a red box next. And frankly, it could be all of them. They could all have a turn at being a minister the way it's going. But it's just a ridiculous situation. There is a clear difference now between the opposition and the government. We need a general election. They need to sort out who their leader is, the Conservatives. They need to put that leader in front of the public in an election, and they need to let us make the choice as the voting people of Britain about who we want to govern us.
Do do you think that this government takes pensioners more seriously than workers?
Well, they have got this cliche that pensioners need to be looked after in a way that workers don't. But pensioners are workers as well. They're just living on their deferred wages. A lot of pensioners are angry about the way this country is governed. We want the triple lock to be enforced, but we want workers who are creating the wealth that pays those pensions to be treated properly as well. The problem in this country is that wealth is not distributed properly. There are too many rich people who've got too much of the wealth, and there are too many poor people who haven't got enough. That's a fairly simple equation to work out. The poor need to get wealthier, and the wealthy need to get a bit poorer, and then we'll have a more balanced society.
They've announced that they're ending the cap in April on energy bills. Have your members spoken to you about that at all?
Well, we haven't had a chance. Our members will be as worried as anyone else at how they pay their bills. Most of our people have not had a pay rise for 3 years. That's part of what this dispute is about. But you've got to have a job to get a pay rise. So we want to secure their jobs with decent conditions and a decent pay deal. They could sort out the cap on energy bills by capping the profits through tax of the energy companies. If they were threatened with a massive tax, they could lower their prices and not depend on the market rate. We don't have to have a market rate for energy. We could have a controlled rate. And of course, a publicly owned energy company would solve that, or a government that was willing to direct the energy companies about what they can charge, as we have done in previous times.
The Chancellor said he would look into windfall taxes if they were legitimately windfall, in his opinion. Do you think that rail profits are legitimately windfall?
Well, rail profits are. The rail companies are making £500 million last year. They were carrying no passengers, and they took the subsidy off the state. They claim £16 billion was given to rail workers, which makes us chuckle. We did our work, and the rail companies ran some trains. And for that, the subsidy that they were given was handed back to the shareholders, £500 million. Now, it could be a windfall tax, or we could just get rid of the privateers. We could have a publicly run railway that's in the interest of the people, in the interest of the passengers, the interest of the workers, and the economy and the climate. And we could have a really good integrated transport policy. But at the moment, we've got no transport policy because they've dropped the transport bill. So we've got a Secretary of State that's actually dropped the main bill, which is the bread and butter of her work. And we'll have nothing to do now for the rest of her term in office.
And you're going on strike again?
We're going on strike again at the beginning of November. That's regrettable. We don't want to do that. But we have to pursue the dispute. We have to keep the dispute alive. Network Rail are threatening imposition, threatening our members with redundancy, and saying that all their working conditions are going to be chopped up. And on the train operating companies, we've got no offer at all.
Just finally, could you describe this government in one word?
Chaos.
All right, so that was Mick Lynch, who's one of the rail workers' union leaders. I disagree, Fred Lawrence. I disagree. We do need unions because we wouldn't have any workers' rights at all without unions. They were fought for. People died to get the right to have a weekend off. People died to get the right to have holiday pay.
I am a fighter and not a quitter.
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected. I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
I've got the list here. 45p tax cut, gone. Yep. Corporation tax cut, gone. 20p tax cut, gone. And her supposed best friend, the former Chancellor, he's gone as well. They're all gone. So why is she still here?
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I am a fighter.
In the last couple of minutes, I've been told that Suella Braverman has resigned as Home Secretary.
She says, I have concerns about the direction of this government.
Just the latest in a long series of problems for the Prime Minister. Grant Shapps, who she sacked when she came into office in Downing Street just over a month ago, is the new Home Secretary.
It's all going on here this afternoon. Labour have brought about a debate on fracking in which the government is whipping its MPs to vote against the Labour motion, effectively voting in favour of potentially allowing fracking. Now, it was made very, very clear by Tory whips earlier today that this was being treated as a confidence vote in the government.
Do the no's have it? The no's have it.
I would urge you to launch an investigation into the scenes outside the entrance to the no lobby earlier. I saw members being physically manhandled into another lobby. and being bullied.
I'm livid. I really shouldn't say this, but I hope all those people that put Liz Truss in number 10, I hope it was worth it, because the damage they have done to our party is extraordinary.
We don't have a we don't have a government. You might as well have, I mean, the lettuce might as well be running the country.
We've got to get rid of her, haven't we?
I'm not sure it could get any worse.
Can't keep up with it for 1 minute. I'll be surprised if they survive the day, to be quite honest.
Now, Liz Truss is meeting the most senior Conservative backbencher, Sir Graham Brady, as I speak to you. He is the chair of the influential 1922 committee, the group of MPs who run leadership elections for the party.
And after those crisis talks, I now understand there will be a statement at 1:30. This lunchtime looks like we may get a big development in the future of Liz Truss.
It's really hard to keep track of time because so much has been happening in each kind of 24-hour segment. Here she comes, Liz Truss, her husband alongside her. Let's listen in.
We set out a vision for a low-tax, high-growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. I recognise, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen. Thank you.
That montage was from The Guardian. It's just a collection of sound bites from the last few days, from Monday onwards, basically. It's just been an absolute nightmare. I'm just so glad it's all over now. I'm so pleased that it's over and we can get on with somebody who just keeps their mouth shut and doesn't try to overturn everything that exists. In one mini budget, they tried to overturn everything. Well, there's a week where we've got Liz Truss in charge as Prime Minister, but not as leader of the Conservative Party. So, in effect, the 1922 Committee, the men in grey suits, as they used to be called, are in charge. The people behind the scenes are in charge. The civil servants will keep everything running, but there's no figurehead there. There's no Conservative Party leader. Liz Truss is staying on for another week until they elect a new leader, and then the new leader takes over as Prime Minister at that point. I mean, it doesn't really affect all that much. The main problem was the mini-budget. The mini-budget was an absolute fucking nightmare. And and everybody could see it. Everybody could see it. But Liz Truss is a libertarian. She's a free market extremist, and that doesn't work. The markets aren't free market extremists. So the markets didn't want it to happen what she wanted to happen to the markets. So it's all very melodrama fuel. It's all very kind of psychodrama. But we've been living inside of Liz Truss's head basically for the last 6 weeks, and Liz Truss's head is not a good place to live. It's not a good place to live. If the last 6 weeks are anything to go by, I wouldn't want to be Liz Truss. I really wouldn't. Right, I'm going to see if I can find one more clip, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Yeah, because it's unfunded tax cuts. That's why they reacted that way, because it pushes, it just destabilizes everything. They need to have everything funded. The markets need to know what's happening. That's how they work. You can't do long-term interest rates on gilts without knowing what's going to happen in 2 years' time. And she committed the government to subsidizing energy costs on the unit rate without knowing what the energy cost was going to be. That's an unlimited subsidy. If the gas price and electricity and the oil price went up to $5,000 a barrel, the government's committed to subsidizing. So that just makes the whole thing totally unstable. It's an open-ended commitment, and you can't do that. You have to cost it. and know how much you're going to spend. So she just picked, she picked the wrong way to subsidize the energy market. They're quasi-Kwarteng's a free market radical. Liz Truss is a free market radical. And so they just went ahead and did what they'd been talking about doing, what the Conservatives voted for it, because a lot of the Tories are free market radicals, free market extremists. But in the real world, you've got an economy that needs stability. They need the people need to know what they've got coming in at the end of the month and how much they're going to earn in a year and what their bills are going to be to be able to do anything. And if you're making an open-ended commitment to an unfunded subsidy, which it was the energy market, because nobody knows what's going to happen in 2 years' time, really, or in a year's time. So you're making a commitment to something that you don't even know what you're committing to. So, of course, that's going to destabilize the markets. They must have known that when they put it in. They must have had some kind of model working. Oops, some kind of model that told them what the markets would do. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't model it. I don't know. Right, thanks for coming in, folks. The battery on my laptop's going to die shortly. I've just been told, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. But it's been fun. It's been one hell of a week, one hell of a month, in fact. So I'm going to be back in about 40 minutes for the music show, or maybe a little bit later than that. I might run the two together, so I'll maybe come back at 10 o'clock and just do an hour. But thanks for coming in. It's good to have an audience for these things. But I need to plug my laptop in, and I'll see you later for the music show.